Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Come on, it's okay to give him some praise. It's okay to worship him. It's okay, it's okay. It's okay, praise God. I do like a little bit in the house, Brother Ed. Praise God. Just so I will not be accused of shouting at you now. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Well, it's certainly good to see you all. My new family, praise God. Praise God, praise God. I love your pastor and his wife. You know, it's only once in a lifetime that do you come across people that are genuine and say what they mean and mean what they say and do what they say and really have a heart for God to cap it off. And that's what I have found in Pastor Gary and Miss Irene. And like he said, you know, it's the Holy Spirit who has knitted our hearts together. And that's the best connections to be made. Can you say amen? Those are always the best connections, when the Holy Spirit connects you, because God always has a purpose for every connection that he makes in your life. Do you agree with that or not? God always has a purpose. And I thank God for, you know, their tenacity. I thank God for the fact that they've been able to stay strong, even in the face of great opposition, and to see the manifestation of what God had promised them many years ago come to pass. And I believe that this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of what God has ordained for Streams of Life Ministry. Can you say glory to God? This is just the beginning. But whenever God wants to make a difference in a place, he finds a man. And I believe he has found a man in Pastor Gary. And that, you know, with you backing him, with you staying strong, praying him up, with you holding up his arms, I believe that he will see the full manifestation of what God has ordained. Can you say glory? Praise God. Praise God. Now, my beautiful wife, she'll be joining us shortly. Praise God. Last week I said that she's like my American Express card. I never leave home without her. And here it is. I came without her today. Oh, Lord. Pastor Gary, forgive me. Praise God. But praise God. So I am excited to continue what we began last week. Last week we started talking about the anatomy of a temptation. And I want to preface this by saying that we all know the times. If you are born again and attuned to the Spirit of God, you should know the times in which we live. Can you say amen? You should know that we are living indeed in the last days. And that if you understand anything about the enemy of our souls, you will understand that he is defeated, but the only power he has in this realm is the power of deception. And if we are not vigilant, if we do not walk circumspectly in our lives, then we who have been called by God, we are the ecclesia, it says in the Greek, we are the called out ones. We are the ones that God has anointed for such a time as this. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about the fact that you and I did not have to live at this time in history? We could have lived before Jesus came. But isn't it interesting that God foreordained for you and I to live in this dispensation, the dispensation of grace? Can you say amen? And so it becomes our responsibility as believers, as we are enjoying this so great a salvation, the salvation that Jesus brought to us. He said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. while we are enjoying this abundant life, we cannot put our guards down. We cannot become complacent. We have to understand the enemy. If you understand what's going on with the enemy, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. You just simply have to walk and live by faith every day and continue to see the goodness of God in your life in the land of the living. Amen? Glory to God. So I understand through the Word of God, and I just want to quickly, just by way of review, I just want to quickly review for the sake of those who weren't here last week. I want to review a few things. But just before I do that, did you bring your Bibles with you today? Why don't you take them out and I'm going to ask you to do what we do in our service. I just want you to make this confession of your faith with me. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's directive to me. I believe what it says to me. I accept what it offers. I am forever being changed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and says, hey, come on, put your seatbelts on. Let's get ready for the Word. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So in understanding the anatomy of a temptation, last week we talked about the fact that being tempted is always going to be a part of the process. Jesus said to his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, temptation is going to come, but you have a decision that you have to make as a believer. You and I must decide what we're going to do. Because whether you realize it, yes or no, that you are a sum total of all the decisions that you have made up to this point in your life. If you understand what I just said, say amen. You are a sum total of all the decisions that you've made up to this point of your life. And what you're going to be and what you're going to experience in the next phase of your life is going to depend on the same process, the decisions that you and I make. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So in analyzing the anatomy of a temptation, we talked about the fact that you have to go back to the beginning. You need to go back to the inception to see when temptation first came on the scene. And we went into the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and we looked at the fact that God created everything. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, it says that, and God saw. It says that, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And we talked about last week the fact that even when things are good, there's always the potential for things to go bad. There's always the potential for something to go wrong. But it doesn't mean that we have to be scared. It just means that we have to be vigilant. Say, tell your neighbor, you have to be vigilant. Glory to God. It means that you cannot walk as the unbelievers. It means that you cannot walk in a way that is displeasing to God. You have to walk knowing who you are, knowing to whom you belong, and knowing what you're all about in this life. Can you say amen? You have to realize that you have to think, sometimes you have to think transgenerationally. It's not just about what you do, but it's about what those that are coming behind you will inherit when you have passed on and graduated to glory. And so you cannot just live your life in any old way. And I thank God in this house, you all have it down and you know, hey, listen, I'm just preaching to myself today, am I? The Bible says, be careful lest when you think you stand, you fall. And so this is a word of admonition, I believe, that the Holy Spirit has given us as we prepare for the next great season that God has ordained for our lives. Can you say amen? Because I believe, like Pastor Gary says, that we were connected for a purpose. And I believe that in the next few months, you're going to see that God is going to release something supernatural in our midst that's going to call for great responsibility. Can you say great responsibility? And wherever there is great responsibility, it requires that we walk circumspectly. It requires that we reverence the things of God. It requires that we think the way God thinks, that we begin to see things the way God sees them, and that we do not allow ourselves to fall prey to the enemy's devices. Can you say amen? Because I have seen, I came out of a huge ministry, and I have seen where God has moved mightily, and when God invaded our space and came in and took control, once we got to the brink of breakthrough, the enemy raised his ugly head. And all of a sudden, people decided to step out. All of a sudden, people decided to glorify themselves. All of a sudden, the enemy raised his ugly head with the same old tricks, the very same things that transpired in the beginning of the book. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So I believe that we need to understand the anatomy, how it all shapes, how it all comes together. We need to understand so that when it appears, none of us will fall prey to the enemy's devices. Glory to God. No, I didn't set my watch here. I want to make sure. No, I do have. You're giving me the countdown. Okay, all right. Well, I want to finish this today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, all right. Okay, great. Praise God. Praise God. So we need to understand, as believers, the anatomy of a temptation and go back to the beginning of things. When you read it in Genesis, you see how God created everything. It was wonderful. It was very good. And how God made provision. He made provision for the man that he had created. And we saw that God made provision for him. And what he did, he planted a garden east of Eden and he placed the man there. It was a place of beauty, a place of sustenance. It was a place that was prepared for him. And I want you to know that God prepared that place and then he gave the man an assignment and a commandment. He gave him an assignment and a commandment. And he said, you must tend and dress the garden. Take care of it. Gave him a job. And then he said, listen, of all the tree in the garden you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And here it is. Adam is in the garden. And he's doing his thing. God gave him a commandment. Gave him an assignment. And then we find that the Bible says, isn't it interesting, before I go to my next point, that the devil did not try to trip Adam up at that point. He was by himself. And the devil did not try to come in at that point. But then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, now, why don't you turn there? Just turn there for me. I just want you to turn there. I know I told you to take your Bibles out and you're probably wondering, when is he going to tell me to turn someplace? I'm trying just to review this quickly. Hello, my love. Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Now we see it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now we see here that Eve was brought on the scene. We see that God, after a while, decided that it was not good for man to be alone. So the Bible tells us, and I just have to move quickly through this, the Bible tells us that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he opened up his side, and he took a rib from Adam, and from that rib, he fashioned a woman from that rib. And it's so interesting that God did not allow Adam to see what he was putting into Eve. But I want you to know that God took everything that was feminine out of the man. and put it in the woman. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And then the Lord sewed him up. Sewed him up. And then he presented Eve to Adam. Now it's interesting. Have you ever thought of it that God didn't bless Adam until Eve came on the scene? Was at that point and the Lord blessed them. Huh. Ooh, oh, I love my wife. I don't know about you. How is that? So we see that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you should not eat of the tree of the garden? He approached the woman and he asked her, he posed a question, he did not make a statement. And that implies the power of suggestion. That is the first thing you need to bear in mind, is that when something needs, when the devil is trying to trip you up, sometimes he will come and he will just simply pose a question. He will just simply raise a question. You know, do you think pastor is on the right track? It could be as simple as that. But all he wants to do is to set things in motion. He wants to set you on a path so that he can then come in and get you into a pretzel where all of a sudden things are out of hand. He came and he simply approached Eve. Did God say? The power of suggestion. And it's amazing that the woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And it says in verse 6, all of a sudden, because of the power of suggestion, in verse 6, things began to change in Eve's mind, in her perception. Because it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," the tree that was there all along, "and that it was pleasant to the eyes," it was there all along, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave to her husband with her, and he did eat." And so we see that at this junction, Adam and Eve died spiritually according to the word of God. And we've always had this debate about, you know, well, why didn't Adam stop Eve from eating of the tree? And my wife and I, we go back and forth, and I shared a few things with you last week. You know, and someone says, hey, listen, he was just, it was dinner time and she gave him fruit salad and he ate it, you know, who knows? We don't know. You know, my theory is that maybe he was just trying to avoid an argument. Now, praise the Lord, let me go around. We don't quite know, but we know that they both ate it. And it could be that, you know, listen, I'm reminded of a gentleman who, you know, he went to the doctor, and he said to the doctor, "Doc, I don't know, there's something going on with me. I just don't have that get up and go. And, you know, I think there's something going on with me. I want you to check me out thoroughly. Check me out thoroughly." So the doctor, prodded and did everything and checked him out. And, and the doctor, came back in and says, "All right, I think I know what's going on with you. I think I know what's going on with you." And he said, "Okay, doc. Tell it to me. What's going on, doc? What's going on?" The doc says, "Listen, I just think you have a case of lazy. You're just lazy." And he's like, "Really, doc?" "Yes, you're just lazy." And he says, "Okay, doc, now what is the clinical term so I can tell my wife?" Man, y'all sleeping on me in here? So in dealing with his wife, he just knew, hey, listen, I need a clinical term to tell her. So, you know, we know how many married folks are in here. You understand what I'm talking about, the dynamics of that. We have to learn how to navigate. Praise God. Praise God. So, here it is. Adam and Eve, however it all transpired, they found themselves. They yielded to the temptation, and death resulted. In the midst of perfection, the wrong voice was heeded, which resulted in interruption to the plan of God. But as the author of fatherhood, God stepped in to rescue the man and woman that he had made by promising to unveil his eternal salvation conceived before the foundation of the world. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Then in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, the last Adam, to restore that which was lost in the garden by making an open show of principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world when he overcame the devil as the Son of Man. He faced the same temptations and came out victoriously. Glory to God. Now it was important that Jesus faced the devil as the Son of Man and not just the Son of God. He had to face him because he was 100% man and he was 100% God. But he faced the enemy as the Son of Man because he had to show you and I that you are overcomers in his name. Can you say amen? He had to show you and I that we can overcome the enemy. We don't have to fall prey to the enemy's devices. Because you see, especially now that we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, now that we have the Paracletos, now we have the one who comes along to aid us, now we know that we do not have to fall prey to the enemy's devices. I remember growing up in an ultra-conservative Pentecostal church. You know, you had to have your dress has to be, you know, pulling on the ground, you know. Otherwise, you were unholy. You couldn't wear makeup. The ladies couldn't wear makeup. And, oh, Lord, some of them really needed it. Oh, hallelujah. They couldn't wear jewelry. As a teenager, there was this precious sister. She would see me and she would, "Brother Mikey, when are you going to give your heart to the Lord?" And she would shake. And she, "Oh," I'm like, "It is joy unspeakable and full of glory." I'm like, "Please notify your face." Scared you in the kingdom. But in those times, I would get saved every Sunday because I didn't understand. You see, I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so I would go to church on Sunday, have a wonderful time. Man, we would roll on the floor, do the Holy Ghost 1-2. I mean, we know how to sweat it up. Then after church, he said, "Well, hey, how was service?" "Oh, it was wonderful." "Hey, what did you learn?" "Huh? Were we supposed to learn something?" "Hey, we had a great time." But I remember I would go and get saved every Sunday morning because I had no power. I would go to school. The enemy would just slap me all over the place. I would come in feeling condemned. Oh, Lord. And then I get, not knowing. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, glory to God, then the power came. And all of a sudden, the devil could not take me at his will anymore. All of a sudden, I could stand up. I could resist the enemy and see him flee from me. All of a sudden, I understood the authority that I have in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, it was different. Because now I know how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, and realize that God is not looking for perfection. He's just looking for a heart that is fixed on him. Can you say amen? He's just looking for a heart that yearns for him. Because, you know, listen, the Lord is perfecting that which concerneth you and I each and every day. And as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep our hearts fixed on him, then he will just take us along and listen. And little by little, you will find, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you will begin to see the transformation, the renewing of your mind. And all of a sudden, you're in a new place and you can stand up and you can face off with the enemy and say, "Devil, you used to trip me up in this area, but it's not happening anymore." Can you say amen? Glory to God. Because I know that you're the same old devil, up to the same old tricks, and I'm not going to fall for those things anymore. Glory to God. I'll go on all. Let me just get back here so I can finish this. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now turn to Matthew chapter 4. I suspect that. Matthew chapter 4. Praise God. Now in Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus, the Bible says that in verse 1, see, I do have it right, in verse 1, it says, then was Jesus, you know what, let me read it in here, I have it on my notes, but let me just get here. Yes. Okay. There we go. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is right after his baptism. It says he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I want you to note before we continue on that just like in the garden, and I just don't have time to get into it. In the garden, the enemy approached Eve. He didn't select Adam. He approached Eve, and he knew there had to be, if the Bible says he was subtle, he was subtle. He was the most subtle, beast of the field. He was subtle. And so if he was subtle, you can imagine that he's going to study his victim or potential victim. He's going to take time and he's going to understand your moment of vulnerability. You know, I mean, if you're gonna try to take someone down, you don't want to wait until they're at their best. You're gonna wait until they're a little weak. You know, because even Arnold, if he gets inebriated, if he gets drunk, skunk drunk, then even I could take him out. All right, okay, you can relax. I'm a lover, not a fighter. It's okay. But you wait for that moment of vulnerability. And it's interesting that the devil waited until Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And what's going to happen? He knew that he had to be hungry. And he knew that he had to be starving. And so what happened? He approached him in that wise. And that speaks volumes to you and I. Do you know when you're most vulnerable to the enemy? Alright, don't shout me down now. Do you know when you're most vulnerable? Because that is important. You need to know. You need to know that, you know what? This is not the time for us to have this discussion right now. Because you can't be having cussing saints. Saints ain't to be cussing, huh? Amen? Do you know when you're most vulnerable? Because that it's at that time that the enemy is going to try to trip you up. Because you have to understand that, you know, he's not so much concerned about you and I. He's mad at God. Because he has found no place of repentance. He committed high treason. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven when he got the holy boot. Because what? He exalted himself. Read it in Isaiah chapter 14. I don't have time to get there. But he's mad at God, and so he's trying to thwart the plan of God in your life. Because he says, listen, if I can mess them up, then I'll disturb him. He thinks. And so that is why, if you notice, gentlemen, I'm talking to the gentleman now. Sometimes the enemy will try to stir you up through your wife. Well, did I say that? Okay. Oh, thank you, Holly. Praise God. Woo! Woo! Oh. You know, I have to say certain things. I say, is she looking? Oh. But that's what it is. Now you understand. So that he had to work through Eve to get to Adam. Not that Eve was bad or her wives are bad. No, he knows. He studied. And for some reason, he was able to pick that point of vulnerability. Now let me talk to the men. Now, some men can be just as bad as women. Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Try to get on. But you have to understand that area of vulnerability in your life. And know, because that's when the enemy is going to try to trip you up. You know, young people, you know, if all you're listening to are love songs, then all of a sudden he's gonna whisper something in your ears. Well, yeah, see that guy that's been checking you out at school, or see that girl, praise the Lord. I have to make that real clear these days. You know, and all of a sudden, if you entertain that thought, if you marinate in your mind, now you begin to move in that direction. See, why do you think the enemy controls the music industry and Hollywood, you know, and all that? Because just through a song, he can change, he can affect the national psyche, the thought process, and especially of the leaders of today, which are the youth. Can you say amen? Just by a suggestion. The power of suggestion, but I gotta move on. The power of suggestion. But we see here that Jesus was not ignorant of the devil's devices. He says, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You see, he wanted him to meet the needs of the flesh in a way that dishonored God at his prompting. It's a lesson for you and I that we can't just do things because, you know what, it might be cool to do it, because society says it's okay to do it. We have to do only those things that we know honors our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? We have to do only those things that we know honors our... It might, you see, it's not everything that looks good and smells good is good. Can you say amen? It's not everything that glitters is gold, the old saying says. It's not everything that is presented that makes sense makes faith. Amen. Glory to God. And so you and I, and I often caution people, especially, you know, the intellectuals among us, you know, we like to reason, you know, and I said it better be anointed reasoning, because I've seen people talk themselves into trouble, and they're highly educated, highly intelligent people. And so what happens is that they relied more on their intelligence than on the prompting of the Spirit of God in their lives. Can you say amen? And you have to understand that there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Man with his intelligence can never figure God out or outdo God. Glory to God. And so I talk about the fact that even the professors in our colleges, many of them, the enemy has been using them to try to destroy our youth, to try to take everything that all, I see all these wonderful young children that we have here. And isn't it sad to know that when they come of age to go to college, if they're not going to a Christian college, there's going to be some professor there who thinks that his assignment is to make sure that he rids them of all this Jesus stuff, this faith stuff. Because he believes that if it cannot be proven in a test tube, then it ain't real. Just imagine that. And so even at a young age, you have to now, you know, help to, you know, to anchor your children in the Word of God. Anchor their children. It doesn't mean they won't make mistakes, but I want you to know that when the Word of God is sown in their hearts, and that word continues to grow and multiply and prevail in every area of their lives, even if they deviate off the beaten path, the Holy Spirit will always have a way to bring them in. Can you say amen? Because even if they get over on the left side of the ditch, there'll be things that they will not be able to do simply because of the deposit, the divine deposit that has been made in them. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So we understand that. But we have to know that the enemy, he tried the same old thing with Jesus. But how did Jesus handle his business? Jesus said, it says in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Can you say amen? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is saying, you have to understand, and that's why I preach it all the time, I say it all the time, that the word of God is to our spirit man what food is to our natural man. Can you say amen? The word of God is to our spirit man what food is to our natural man. But you have to see that when the enemy comes in and he whispers in your ears, he suggests something that you know is diametrically opposed to the will of God. You see, you cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You see, when the thought comes, you see, you fight thoughts with words. You've got to open up your mouth and declare what the word of God says. Can you say amen? So when the enemy whispers and says, you know, did you feel that pain in your side? I think you're going to die. And you're like, oh. Honey, call the doctor. Before you say, oh, you lying devil, I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And that is my permanent state of being. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Now you see, the thing is, you might say, well, but what about if it's real? If I'm having a pain? You see, you don't allow the pain to dictate what you say. You allow your faith to dictate what you say, because if you speak what you want to see according to the word of God, then you shall have whatsoever you say. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Sometimes you might get up and, and all you need is just a little exercise. Amen? Just a little exercise would take care of things. Glory to God. But Jesus used the word to overcome the wicked one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now he's trying with this whole thing with the pride of life. Hey, if you be the Son of God, you know, if you're something, if you think you're a hot stuff, why don't you just go ahead and throw yourself down? Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, Jesus used what? The written word. Amen? He used the written word. Verse 8, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. It's the lust of the eyes. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, all right, that's it. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So if you can get beyond the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then all you have to enjoy from that point forward is just the ministering of the angels. Glory to God. All you have to enjoy at that point is just the glory of God flooding your life. Because while he does not seek perfection in you and I, but if you realize that there is a maturation process, and that you can get to a place in God over a period of time where you can then stand up and you can say with a clear conscience, there's not one person on this planet that I hate. And I'm saying that because it's true in my life. You can stand up and say with a clear conscience that, listen, my trust and my faith is in God. And don't be wavering in your mind. You can get to that place so that when the enemy comes, the Bible says that when the enemy rushes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. It's that word that has been sown on the inside of you. That word that has taken root in your heart. You bring forth that word and speak forth that word, and all of a sudden, just like when God said, "Let there be light," when you say, "Devil, go," he must flee. When you speak to mountains, they must obey. Because you have allowed yourself to go through the crucible of change. Now I'm talking about those. Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master. But he that is, disciple is not above his master. But he that is perfect or mature shall be like his master. So Jesus is saying that, listen, I overcame the enemy. I came and I faced off with him as the Son of Man. Relying on the Holy Ghost. Because everything Jesus did, he relied on the Holy Ghost. He exercised none of his divine attributes on his own will. But he said, if I could overcome the devil, I want you to know that you are more than conquerors in me. Can you say amen? Glory to God. The devil doesn't belong on your back. He belongs under your feet. Glory to God. But you must understand. Because what happens is, if you allow the enemy to trip you up, if you allow the enemy to have you fall prey to his devices, then all of a sudden you open up the door. And when you open up the door, then you say, well, why is it I've been going to church, I've been tithing, I've been doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, and things just don't seem to be turning for me. Things don't just seem to be going the way I want it. Be careful, you might have opened up the back door and allowed the enemy to come in. Glory to God. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John, turn there real quickly for me. Glory to God. When you're there, say amen. The Apostle John captures it right here. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You see, we know who the prince of the ruler of the air is. We know who rules this world system. And we know what he's all about. We're not ignorant of his devices. So the anatomy of the temptation is the same in both scenarios that we've just looked at. Adam and Eve and Jesus's. The difference was yielding versus overcoming. The difference was yielding versus overcoming. Turn to James chapter 1 real fast. I'm coming to a close. I just want to go through this, James chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. I believe this corroborates what I said earlier when I started by saying that temptation is always going to be there. You're always going to be tempted. But in James chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. You have to understand, God is not the source of your problem. God is not the one who is causing the issue in your life. I want you to make a note of that and never forget it. The Bible says every good and perfect gift come from above. They come down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. You have to understand, God is not one way today and another way tomorrow. Glory to God. So when temptation comes, don't say, oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said, listen, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you more trouble than you ever wanted. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you know that the trouble that you see is not from God. So when you're singing, nobody knows the trouble I see, nobody knows my sorrow, you just need to know that it didn't come from God. Can you say amen? But it says that every man, it says, I want you to see this, because this is the point of my own message here, is that in understanding the anatomy of a temptation, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When those suggestions are made and you embrace those suggestions, and now all of a sudden the beautiful marriage that you've had all these years is no longer sufficient because you remember something that some other person said to you. All of a sudden the beautiful function and role that you play in the body of Christ all of a sudden is not sufficient anymore. You know, Pastor, I think the Lord is calling me to start my own church. Hey. All of a sudden, when you are drawn away, you're drawn away by your own lusts and entices. And so you have to understand how the enemy will try to navigate, and how he'll try to come in, to weasel his way in and to trip you up. And I told you last week, he never comes dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork. He comes in a subtle way. He comes in ways that you don't expect. What might be just an innocent conversation around the dinner table could be the seed that he's planting to cause confusion not many days hence. So we realize that we have to be vigilant and know that it's in our hands. I preached a message some time ago. To be or not to be is up to me. It's the decision that I make. I have to make that decision. You have to know how to shun the very appearance of evil. Don't flirt with sin. Now we know, you all can check with Pastor on this, but when you're born again and in the family of God, sin is really not your problem. Because your sins, the Bible says that, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sins. But it doesn't mean that we sin willfully. But it means that we live our lives in such a way that in everything we do, God is being glorified. We live our lives in such a way that you are truly, naturally supernatural. Glory to God. So when you're on your job, you don't have to get into a Holy Ghost thing. Your boss says, you know, hey, you were late. Boss, let me prophesy to you. No, you'll be on the unemployment line. You just have to be who God has made you to be. Just be. You're born again. Born of the incorruptible Word of God. Washed in the precious blood of Jesus. You're no longer an old weak worm in the dust that's trying to make it into heaven. You are a saint of the Most High God. And you cannot be both at the same time. It's either you're old weak worm in the dust or you're a saint. Which one are you? Glory to God. I'm a saint, a kings and priest unto our God. Amen. Glory to God and understanding who we are. So when we just simply have to be and know that the enemy has no place, no place in our lives. How much time do I have? Well, how many will give me, how many will give me another minute? Let me just see. Will you give me another minute? How many will give me another minute? All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. I think I have, okay. 5 minutes over here. Okay. Great. Do I get 10? Do I get 10 over here? Do I get 10? Do I get 15 over here? I think I better patent that right away. Holly, take care of that for me right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the anatomy is the same. And you can write these scriptures down. I have to come to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." Doesn't mean that God brings it. It means that He will allow it. He would allow it. Because you see, God is not trying to, you know, do tit for tat with the enemy. Devil is like, oh, look at what I can do. If you only study the story of Job and you'll understand that. God is not. Who's the devil to God? But He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." So you have to know that, you know, Pastor and I, it's not that we have an in with God, you know, where He says, all right, listen, I'm just going to brush your stuff aside. He holds us to the same level of responsibility. Because God is no respecter of persons. If I don't walk circumspectly, the enemy will trip me up just like he'll trip up anybody else. I don't have any special favors because, you know, I'm a minister of God. In fact, if anything, I have more responsibility. Can you say amen? I have more responsibility. But there hath no temptation taken you. So while He might allow the temptation, the Bible says, and especially in this dispensation, we have the Holy Spirit. So He'll be, you know, you got to bear up onto some things. You got to understand how to endure a little bit. You see, sometimes Christians, you know, we come in, we get born again, and we come into the kingdom. And the minute the enemy turns up the pressure because he's mad, you're ready to, oh my Lord, I never had these problems, Holly, until I got saved. What's wrong with this? Because you have to understand, the devil had you then. But now he's mad. Like, oh my God. What's going on here? So, oh, you know what? I don't know. This Christian thing is not for me. Because the devil is just on my back. But you have to understand that the Bible says, blessed are those who endure temptation. You have to understand. It's just like you can't move from one level, grade level to the next until you pass the test. Can you say amen? You have to pass the test. And at every level, there's a new devil. Oh, at every level, there's a new devil. Every phase of your Christian walk. And this is not to scare you. This is supposed to excite you. Because you know that you're fighting the good fight of faith. And what's a good fight? A fight that you win. So it's a fixed fight. If you simply learn how to walk in Jesus. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So it's a fixed fight. So you just have to get excited. All right. Woo. I overcame the devil at that level. You see, if you can't lay your hands on your own head when you have a headache and rebuke it and see something happen. Well, don't try laying hands on me when I got, something happening with my leg or something. Because you've got to work and exercise your faith on the small or the lower level. And so you can graduate to the higher levels. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So you can get to that place. But you've got to be able to resist the enemy. If you can't learn just to zip it up, I know everything in me want me to do. I just want to reply right now. I can cut him with my words. If you can't overcome that, because you see, you have to learn how to possess your soul. Jesus says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Take a hold of yourself. Tell your neighbor, take a hold. Get a hold of yourself. Glory to God. Praise God. All right. I think I need to move on here. I'm just about done. It says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, you can write it down. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it says here, don't just get up and start to resist the devil. First, you've got to submit to God. First, you've got to learn how to be a worshiper. First, you have to learn that worshiping is not a spectator sport. You've got to get into it, because you have to understand that a lot of the resisting of the devil comes out of your time of worship, comes out of your time of praise. So if you simply, sometimes a lot of things in the kingdom are better caught than taught, and you will catch things if you are in a place of worship. Where you just release yourself to God, and all of a sudden the burdens that you came in with will just disappear. And all of a sudden, you're like the angels. You feel light. Somebody said, you know why angels can fly? Because they take themselves lightly. But you understand that. Let me. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I talked about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we have to determine in our hearts today that we will be numbered among the saints who held strong to the end. See, that is the key. Anyone can start something, but it's finishing strong that is most important. You know, how many of you have made up your mind that, listen, I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to finish my course well. I'm going to finish. That's what it's all about. It's finishing the course well. You've got to know that, you know, the Bible promises that, listen, we shall fulfill the length of our days. It says, hey, listen, teach us how to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we must know that, you know, I preach them as, I say, no regrets. When I'm 105, with Suzette by my side, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And we are reminiscing, reflecting on the goodness of God in our lives. There should be no regrets. You should just say, Lord, whenever you're ready, I'm ready. You begin in faith, you end in faith. Amen? You end this phase of the journey, finishing strong. And you only can finish strong if you allow yourself to be tripped up by the enemy. You'll just be going into heaven. You still make it. You still go. You know. We always say to the folks that are, you know, you have people that they smoke, but they, you know, they're still saved. You know, they're still on their way to heaven, smelling like hell, but no. But you understand, we have to finish strong. You see, I believe that we will not be deceived. How many believe that? We will not yield to the pressures of temptation. We will not neglect this so great a salvation. Because temptation comes, and it comes to try to get you, first and foremost, to compromise. To compromise. Temptation comes for you to quit, for you to give up. See, you think that it's only in those big areas, but sometimes it's in these little areas. Not to be good for your word, to prevaricate when in a bind, for, you know, to lie when in a bind. That's to give up on your marriage because it's too hard. Pastor, you celebrating 40 years of marriage. You know, it's ups and downs. But we hold strong to the covenant. Can you say amen? Huh? You haven't seen them. Always been up. See that? It's always been up. Praise God. I want some of what you're drinking. No. I'm coming by the house. Holly wants us to bottle it. Praise God. Okay. But it's, I want you to see, stop for a moment, take inventory of what God has done in your life and express your gratitude. You might not be where God wants you to be just yet, but thank Him that you're not where you used to be.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And just realize that there is a, God has a plan for you and I. And that if we can simply remain faithful, if we can simply, watch this, stay in faith even in the face of great opposition, we will see the full manifestation of what He has ordained. Amen? Glory to God. Put your Bibles and your book down. Give the Lord a shout of praise in this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you have a song to close out the service? Praise God. Well, I just want you to know that, you know, it is indeed my honor and my privilege to be connected to your pastor, a man who relies on the Holy Ghost. I love that. And, you know, I just hope that you treasure him and realize what God is doing here. And I'm anticipating that God is going to do great things as we, as one, as the body of Christ. You see, I'm not a sheep owner. I don't own any sheep. See? I don't own any sheep. I'm just someone that God has entrusted to speak into the lives of those that have been blood bought. And I take it seriously. And so I look forward to we going out together, and we're going to take this town. We're going to take this county. And people are going to hear. You just simply have to get on fire for God, and people will come and watch you burn. Amen? Glory to God. Just have to get on fire for God. And they will come from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. There will be a convergence. They will converge upon this place. You know, we're going to have to be having six services until the sanctuary is ready. But hey, we'll pack them in. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I thank God. Just bow your heads before Holly comes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word that has gone forth today, O Lord God, with accuracy and precision, and has found the good soil of the hearts of these your precious people. Father, I thank you, O Lord God, that you know every situation that is represented here. You know, O Lord God, every struggle, every test, every trial. But, O Lord God, you have provided a way of escape. You have given us the Holy Ghost. And you have given us, O Lord God, all that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And you have called us more than conquerors in your name. You have called us overcomers. You have raised us up to overcome and to be all that you have called us to be in this generation. And so, Father, I pray your blessing upon these, your precious people. And I thank you, O Lord God, that as they go forth this week, they will go forth with a new determination. A new determination, O Lord God, to be the best that they can be. To be all that they can be, O Lord God, bringing glory and honor to your name. Father, I thank you, O Lord God, for the holy collaboration that you have established between our ministries. I thank you, O Lord God, that you are opening the eyes of these people, O Lord God, to see the full potential and the vastness, O Lord God, of that which you have called us to as the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord God, that there will be bridges built, no more walls. I thank you, Lord God, that there will be a spirit of unity like never before. And I thank you, Father, that we will move forward as one body, ready and able to take new territory and to do great exploits in your name. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you have done in our lives today, for all that you have set in motion. And I thank you, Lord God, that we shall see the fullness of it in the days ahead. Have your own way, we pray, this day and always, in Jesus' precious name. And everyone in agreement says, Amen. Amen.